Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Said. It is the official OklaEd podcast. It is the official first, like, recorded podcast of 2018. We had a replay last week, which you listeners loved so much. I hope you loved it a second time around. Yay, I'm excited to dive in. How about you?
Hey, I would also like to welcome our listeners back, and I also hope they enjoyed the replays. We had a couple of them. So, yay.
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 They were the most listened to,
episodes.
Episodes of the last year.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're coming up, we're closing in on one full year of Oklahoma Said. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy?
I know, it's amazing.
I have our anniversary on the calendar.
Oh no. I hope our spouses know about this. I think we should dive into the chat before a nasty rumor gets started.
Yes. So this chat was reflecting on 2017 while looking towards 2018. And our host for this one was...
Kimber Blodgett. And she cheated again like she did last time. Did you see how many questions she was putting on those slides?
Yeah. And how many? We had like 12 questions of the night. That was like one of the biggest chats or most questioned chats.
Yeah. What does she think she's doing?
Yeah. Who do you think you are, Kimberly?
Making us work. Really
appreciate it.
It was a good chat.
Yeah. Well, question one, describe 2017 in only three words.
Now, I really thought this was a great question.
Yeah. I don't know that I would have been able to do it very well. We have 280 characters for a reason now. But I went with Shane Sanders, who is at @EDU_Sanders70. He said, what? Now? Okay.
I thought that was pretty good. And I thought people were really creative with their three-word choices.
Yeah.
So if you didn't see this part of chat or missed it, just go back and search OklaEd A1 and take a gander, because some of them were really clever.
Yeah.
Very clever. I went with Ann Beck, our good friend, and she said, not looking back, exclamation point. I feel like there were lots of, and I chose her because I think it was in some ways representative of how OklaEd currently feels. Thank God that year is over, because dang.
I am looking forward to this year and all that it has to bring for us.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Did you achieve any goals in 2017? Did you keep any resolutions you made at the beginning of the year?
Did you?
I don't really do resolutions or goals.
So this was the first, 2017 was the first year I did a resolution in a long time, and all of them failed except for one.
Oh.
But I made a goal to be at 145 by the end of the year. So I was bigger than that. And I am currently sitting at like 138. So, bam.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I think the appropriate response is what? So, wow, that's amazing.
Yes. Natasha Jefferson, who is at @Jefferson_first, said, lost 30 pounds, grew my PLN, presented for the first time ever. And I loved that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The PLN, the 30 pounds, but... Thank you, Natasha, for presenting.
Yeah.
You have great information to share with us, and we look forward to more of those presentations.
I'm excited because I can remember the first time I did a presentation sort of thing, and it was really fun. Like, I enjoyed being on that end of it for a change.
Yeah.
So
was it good or was it a train wreck?
It wasn't a train wreck. I don't know that it was amazing, but... But it was good enough that I wanted to do it again.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I really like the tweet you picked on this one.
Yeah, I went with Black Apple. She is at Black Apple for EDU. She has been in and out of chat depending, but I think she's an East Coaster person. So she says, I changed schools and pushed myself to grow, which has been a challenge. And I think that that can sum up a lot of educators. When we legit push ourselves to grow, that is challenging because we are intentionally leaving places we're comfortable. And when you do that, it's hard.
Yeah. Well, what was the single best thing that happened in 2017? And what was the most challenging thing that happened?
So I went with Anissa West. And she said, leaving my previous role in order to tackle inequities full time was the single best and single most challenging thing that happened in 2017.
Wow, Anissa, do you have information? Like, I want to read about this. I want to know what your endeavors were and what you found. That would be interesting to know.
Yeah, it would be. But I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. I went with a Lauren Pena tweet, and she is at Lauren_Pena16. She says, best and most challenging, settling into my second year at a new school, teaching a new subject, and first year as a full year stepmom and mom. Mm. And I appreciate, I mean, we always talk about education, and I like this because this woman needs support. It's hard being a mom for a first time, let alone stepping into being a mom and now also a stepmom. There are things that go along with that. And Laura, I am praying for you that it all goes well, and you're amazing.
Mm, that's a big challenge. Being stepmom or stepdad or step anything can be very difficult.
Yeah, well, and I was old enough, I remember being a little bit of a brat to my stepmom for a long time. Not a long time, but for a long time I knew it and didn't say I'm sorry. And so that finally came around a couple of years ago.
I may or may not have been an angel to my stepmom as well, but I shall not say. So what was the greatest, kindest service you provided this past year? What public service do you plan to do in the new year? She's asking two questions every time. It's cheating.
Okay, Angela Little's tweet here, and she's at Angim Little. She said, I managed a group of 29,000 Oklahomans to advocate for teachers in public ed. I'll be doing the same thing this year in 2018. I refuse to give up until things get better for kiddos and educators. Thank you. Thank you.
She certainly has marshaled an army of folks.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive. I went with Tina Kirkpatrick. She is at Tina K. Pat. She said, assisted teachers outside of my district on my own time. I would like to start a helpful YouTube channel for educators wanting to improve instruction and classroom management.
Wow. Awesome. Boom. Tina, let us know the name of your YouTube channel and we will try to help blast it out.
You know, it's possible that we could do some retweeting.
Oh, I do believe we could.
Because you just hit the little button, retweet.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
In what ways did you grow this year? As a parent?
One.
As a spouse?
Two.
Friend?
Three.
Educator?
Four.
Co-worker?
Five.
Leader?
Six.
Etc. And applies to you and... choose what applies to you and answer. If you didn't, how do you plan to in 18?
Seven.
Seven questions!
Cheating.
There were a lot of great answers with this one as well.
Yeah, there were.
I really liked Shannon Malo's tweet, and she said, I am a person who thinks of ideas, but never puts those ideas into action. As I'm getting closer to 50, I want to get out of the shadows and lead the change. Yes, please do so.
Sending digital high five. That's a good one.
That was awesome. He really did, just in case you didn't see it.
And that was also directed towards Shanna, wherever she is, according to me. I don't know. I'm all lost over here in Chickasha. I don't have my bearings very good. I chose Steve Gilliland, who is at Steve_Gilliland. He said, the importance of listening in each of those roles, big deal for me in 17, will be in 18 too. Sometimes that's all people need is someone to listen.
Yes. Do you want to listen to me, Scott?
No, because we've got like 12 other questions and, I know. Podcast length. Do you need a couch? Do you need to stretch out on the couch? And let me get hold on, let me get my legal pad, pencil. Ready?
It's going downhill.
So question six. What was the biggest thing you learned in 2017 that you will carry over into 18?
The biggest thing I learned is that people are awesome and more awesome than me. Yes, they are.
You learned that? You didn't already know it? Did something happen?
Yes, my father-in-law died. I won't make this too long because we got a lot of questions to get through.
Okay.
But I've been around plenty of friends who's had loved ones that have died, right?
Right.
And I always thought, like, I will tell them something later. Like, this week I probably shouldn't reach out. Or I'm not going to post on Facebook because everybody's doing that. And I'll just send them a message. And then I don't get to it.
Like, you don't want to overwhelm them in their period of mourning.
And so my thought was, they're probably overwhelmed right now. I'll hit them later.
Okay.
It was amazing to me to see how many people came out of the woodworks. Even the praying for your family right now, which isn't much, but it was so precious to see all of those people and the food that's been brought over. And I mean, Travis and I have been these people who are like, we could take or leave the church. You know, you can be a good person or a Christian and not have to go to church to do that, right? And we realized what the church was for this last couple of weeks, and we've just been a really blessed group of people, and realized how crappy we were for past non-action. That's all.
Okay. So it really was like a humbling moment for you guys.
It was amazingly humble, yes, and it came in the last week of the 2017.
Okay.
First week of 2018. Anyway, but I went with a John Bennett tweet here, who just has some of the best tweets, and you can't pick them every single time, but servant is my hashtag one word for this year.
That's your word, right?
That's my word.
Okay.
And so I liked it because he was using it over and over here. He said, servant leadership is more valuable than any management and any other form of leadership. I loved it, John.
That's a good one. I really wish I had run into John during possibly more formative years before Twitter, because I really do like a lot of what he says. He's a deep thinker, that guy.
He really is.
He considers a lot, and I like how he does that.
Yeah.
I went with, I also took an Angela Clark Little tweet. She said, I've learned that I don't need everyone to agree with or like my methods for advocacy. I've now seen what gratitude and building bridges can accomplish, and it's all the reassurance I need to stick with it despite the critics. And I think that's insightful on her part too, because the nature of where she's put herself politically has invited a lot of criticism.
I would say so, and it would be easy. Well, for me, it would be super easy to hate on some people if things weren't going my way, or like, hello, how many phone calls do I have to make? Hello, how many letters do I have to write? And I agree with that. I think that you can catch more flies with honey. And so, but I mean, I don't know. But that's probably gonna take off a lot of people. Not that I don't take off people regularly, but.
But I think that's okay too.
We're fed up.
Yeah, and I think Angela has a point here as well. You know, when you lead or take charge of something, you're not going to do it, and you know this as a teacher, and I do too. You're not going to do something where everybody's going to be like totally agreeable all the time, 100% supportive. There's going to be people who just really do not like what you're doing, and I think that's part of the human nature, because I can't say that I've agreed with everything that she's done, but on the other hand, she has done so much to try and further what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, so I can't be
activity level.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. So I can't complain. She's doing more than I could have done on my. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like talking about amazing things that Aaron Baker writes. I don't always agree with everything what he writes, but I am so thankful he's doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Shining a light bulb on something.
Yes, yes, yes. So, question 7.
Well, you've been granted one wish to change one thing in education for 2018. What one thing will you change? How will this positively affect your students?
Well, so I tweeted, I would make sure that everybody had breakfast and lunch every day at school. Like not just these kids or those kids. All right. Kids get a good breakfast and all kids get a good lunch, period.
Yeah.
Because now you're not stigmatizing anything. And right. And if you are well nourished, there is a lot of good things that happen.
I love it.
So
I don't know if you see in the notes, but you stole the tweet. Well, you didn't steal it. You were quite ahead of me on the notes here, but
it's hard to steal a tweet, Aaron.
I know. That was the tweet I was going to pick, and I just loved it so much.
Okay. So here's what we'll do. I'll read your tweet that you chose, and then I'll read my tweet. So
bad, because I don't read what I said.
Because we outline, Aaron and I outline what we're going to do, and we go through and we review. You know, we kind of pull a tweet that speaks to us or whatever, and then we put them into this shared Google Doc. And so Aaron's tweet, her line for her tweet says, "Damn it, Scott, you beat me." So,
and yeah, you had an amazing tweet.
Yeah, so there you go. So Lauren Pena, twice quoted. She said, "I would give all districts the resources to find new ways to organize school. Do all kids of the same age have to be in the same grade? Does ELA and history and world language have to be taught in separate classrooms at different times?" Bang.
That is boom-sossible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they did a thing at Emma Memorial where they taught the 11th grade English. I think it's American, like it's American based literature, and it tied in with the U.S. history class, AP history class. So they taught them both at the same time. It was a two block hour, and it so it was so successful that two block hour was expanded to another two block hour for another set of teachers. And then it became a real stressor on the overall schedule for the school that they just couldn't keep it up because it was so popular. But dang, imagine all the learning that can go on. Here's why they were writing what they were writing in literature, because these events happening over here in the history.
Well, and I think just giving schools the ability to organize the way that seems, I mean, maybe you wouldn't need so many charters if we could think outside of the box on
a... We don't need charters, Aaron.
Shut up. No, and I don't want to say that in a bad way. Like, I'm just saying, like, if more public schools took chances to think differently...
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying, because we're...
Okay, thank you, because I'm saying it horribly.
No, what you're saying is charters have this... have an opportunity to teach a bit differently by the nature of what they are. Because we're saying that that's possibly a good way for kids, but we're not giving public schools the same opportunity to make some of those changes as well.
Kenny Ward and I got to sit down and have an amazing conversation. I may have already brought it up some other time, but we were talking about, like, what if first period was for the musically inclined kid? And so that teacher could just focus on teaching that kind of learning style right now, rather than having all the learning styles. And I don't know if it would work, but it would be fun to try it for 1 year for one, you know, subject for one grade level.
Right.
I don't know. It'd just be fun to try different things. And if you could get away with it because you were allowed to organize things a little bit differently, then, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like taking some of the things that you do at an alternative school.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to help those kids that are alternative school kids, but they're the exact same fundamental things that you can do in a quote-unquote regular school that's just as beneficial.
Exactly.
So,
because
yeah.
That was not a dig
at no.
public school at all. Please
no. This. No, sometimes public school is tied in by regulation. I think that's what I was trying to say, too. You know,
and boards, and you know,
right.
it takes a lot to get things changed. So,
And change can be scary, as we've talked about.
Sheesh, yeah.
So, what have you read lately that has changed the way you will teach in the new year? If you haven't read, that is okay too. Sometimes just making it through the day is enough. You're showing a book. It says originals.
Yes. The original is How Nonconformists Move the World by Adam Grant. I am just starting it, and I'm, a couple chapters in. You gotta read that one.
Okay. Maybe you can loan it to me.
I sure could. I liked Jun Kim's book.
Yes.
Just by title alone. I'd love to see what the cover art looked like, but it says, "Leaders Eat Last."
Yeah. That's a good one.
Have you read it?
No. I just like Leaders Eat Last.
Yeah, I think I like the motto.
Oh, with Natasha Jefferson here, mostly because this is my personal goal starting this summer, reading for pleasure. She said reading for pleasure right now. One thing I promised myself I'd do in 2017. And I feel like I haven't been able to read a lot of pleasure books recently.
Yeah, it gets hard when you're, you know, dissertating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I'm almost done.
Well, number nine. If one photo represented your classroom in 2017 and another photo represented your classroom in 2018, what would be different and what would be the same in each photo? Explain the similarities, explain the differences. And so neither of us used photo tweets. they described their photo slides.
Right.
There was no actual photo. There were some that put a before and after. I liked that,
right,
too.
Right, I did too.
Rick Cobb was tweeting from the at Grindel Rick the Twitter account last night.
Right.
He said, hopefully we would see some more students finding their voice, more schools with inclusive climates, more teachers determined to stick around for much, much longer.
I thought that was a good one.
I did too.
And then I went with John Bennett, Dr. Bennett, at JCBJR. He said, for 2017, it would be the storage box for all students' smartphones. For 2018, it would be students using smartphones to address situations meaningful to them and the planet, with those students using their smartphones and appropriately storing theirs until see value. And I like that because somebody had shared at one point too, you know, can students use phones for learning or so, something to that effect, like phones should, or Aaron Baker tweeted, a student used a phone today in class, you know?
Yeah. And the world didn't end.
Yeah, and the world didn't end. It takes us thinking differently about how to use some of these different things. We just can't think the same.
Well, and I mean, even if they are texting, what if they're texting, like, you know, phone a friend from that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Right.
I mean, if it's not during a test, why can't, I don't know. Anyway, question 10.
I mean, we can teach them. Let's teach them how to use these things, right?
Agreed.
Did you see the principal, Grant Nyberg's tweet that goes in with this thing? He tweeted earlier this week about he's having some issues with in his school district, Google Hangouts is open for everybody. So for the students, they can chat back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're maybe doing some things they shouldn't be. And he tweeted, I really don't want to ban this. I think that's the wrong choice, but I need help here. Like, what are some ideas? And it ended up becoming this monster thread of ideas on what he could do. Yeah.
Good. And
it was really interesting. But
I love the Twitters.
One of the tweets that came in from Alice Keeler, and she's like, if you ban it, they'll just go somewhere else.
Right.
So let's teach them how to,
well, if they go somewhere else, then you don't have an archive to be able to look back to either.
Right.
With Google, at least, you know, if you've got a school account, you've got an archive of everything if you need to.
Right, right. And so my thing was, you know, have your teachers model it in the just digital citizenship all the time. Are there kids that maybe need to have a consequence? Yes. I mean, we can't just let them come through and do whatever, but to say no because this group is doing something, I think we have to be able to teach and train and have that opportunity here.
Right.
Q10, as we enter the next semester at school, name one thing you have taught. Not standards-based, not a core subject. Just tell me something you've taught your students. What is one thing you have learned?
All right. So one thing I taught my students, show tunes. I hope that they're okay with that.
The good show tunes, like Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis, those kind of good show tunes?
Yeah, and like, you know, American Idiot. All of them.
Green Day? Green Day is not a show tune.
It can be. It can be. One thing I have learned.
Well, it sounds like you learned a lot over the last couple of weeks of the year.
Yeah, but not from my students. I think it was asking from your students. Man, I learned so much from them. Every day is something new. Anyway, go ahead.
I learned some stuff.
What'd you learn?
I don't know. I actually didn't answer this question. I feel like I've been learning nonstop with this whole dissertation thing. So I feel like that has consumed a lot of my energy this year.
Gotcha. Well, Shane Sanders tweeted that consistency and integrity, I do this through being firm but fair with everyone. And in all that I do and say, I consistently act with dignity and compassion.
Yep, that's a good one.
I hope that people could see that in me as well, Shane. That was a great tweet.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I went with Michelle Shelton. She is at Ms. Shelton 5th. She said, hashtag choose kind. It's been threaded into every lesson, novel, service learning project, and conversation. What I learned, they get it, they can do it, and it makes them happy and proud.
That was a great tweet too, yep. Michelle.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. 11, if you made a New Year's resolution for 2018, have you stuck with it so far? If you haven't, why not? If you had to make one right now, what would it be? So if I had to make one right now, I would say, don't forget the enthusiasm daily.
I don't think that you'll have to worry about that because you're pretty much an enthusiasm daily person when I'm around, or at least you fake it really well when I'm around.
We'll see. I don't know. I think I bring some enthusiasm, but I also know that I can, you know, feel stuck in a rut. And so I just hope that nobody would ever see that part of it in my day.
Yeah. I'm not really a resolution maker. Sometimes I focus on one word. Sometimes that one word I'll be able to do that for a couple months. And then life just draws me away from it.
Yes.
But I think one thing that I want to try to always challenge myself to do is change. Not change for change's sake, but to just be willing to try those new things, to do things differently, to think differently, to step outside the box, and to constantly be on the lookout in regard to how I teach what I teach.
Yeah. Both of our tweeters here have the hashtag #OneWord2018 in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, I went with Michelle Waters, and she said, I didn't set a resolution, but instead chose a mission represented by the hashtag #OneWord2018, Amplify.
Mm-hmm.
You can read more here, and she linked in a blog post. Go read it. Amplify. I love it.
Her RethinkELA.com website is good, and she has also started a podcast.
Yes.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
She and I were tweeting back and forth, direct message about types of microphones, and she let me get away with, you know, talking about it for a little while, but then she's like, oh, but my husband totally runs the sound at church or something amazing. I'm like, what do you need me for?
Yeah, I plug in the USB cord here to the computer. What a...
Thanks, yeah, never mind. Thanks. All right. Let me smart for half a second. Yeah.
We have a mixer board with 17 channels.
Super cool.
Yeah. I went with Lisa Crossland here, who is at Lisa R. Crossland. She said, no resolution, but my one word is unlearning, making room for new ways of thinking by letting go of old ones. Hashtag one word 2018.
Love it. Unlearning.
Mm-hmm. Bang on. So, this is Kimberly now. I've shared New Year's quotes with most questions, and all of her tweets with the quotes on them are on the landing page for this podcast, so you can go back and see all those. What is your favorite New Year's quote, and why? And
pick one.
So, I went with, I don't really, again, quotes are not something that I live by. You know, be good when crossing the railroad tracks with your left shoelace untied. I don't know.
Said by Scott Hazelwood.
That's right. Hashtag New Year's. So Shelby Jr. 3, who is Shelby Lightning Bolt, she said, "You have no obligations to your former self. They are dumber than you, and they don't exist."
Love it.
And that was from at Hank Green.
That was good. I do like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Our Boom Sauce tweets of the night.
Yeah.
We mentioned this guy at all, but both of us picked two tweets from him for Boom Sauce. So yeah. He must have been a little bit dominated.
I think he dropped off some stuff. So, can I do mine first? Huh? He did.
Yes, go.
Yeah. Okay, so question 11. If you made New Year's resolutions for 2018, have you stuck with them so far? That's the question. His answer, no more champagne breakfasts. So far, so good, and now my district isn't wasting all that money.
Ah, very good.
So witty.
Well, answer 7, what hit my boom sauce, blah, 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 blah.
It's called English. You should practice it.
It came from question 7 about the one wish for schools. And so his answer 7 was autonomy for teachers to innovate for their students includes freedom from financial strain, freedom from perceptions of incompetence, freedom from artificial curriculum requirements, freedom from unnecessary and informative testing, freedom from poor leadership. Boom.
Dang.
And that's why 280 characters is necessary sometimes.
You know, sometimes, I don't know, still mixed feelings on the whole 280. But I have utilized a longer tweet, but I think out of habit, I am still trying to tweet things inside the 140 limits.
Yeah, I try to keep it short.
Just out of trying to do it that way. So,
what's going on next week? Do you know?
I provide just a skosh of filler, if you don't mind.
Okay, so. 87 years ago, our forefathers brought forth from this great nation to this great... That Sermon on the Mount from...
No, that was Abraham Lincoln, not Sermon on the Mount.
I'm just kidding.
Anne hasn't posted it. I can't remember who it is.
Okay.
I was trying to scroll through Anne's timeline because she usually has a picture up, but the last dated thing I can find... shows,
knowing what comes no next chat. Week is the only thing that keeps you coming back. Sorry.
It's a secret. But in 2 weeks, I think, Oklahoma Education Truths is hosting the Okla Ed Awards Twitter chat. So that should be fun and exciting.
I saw your tweet about best... podcast over Okla Ed.
Yeah.
That a category?
Yeah.
I'm hoping it wasn't best Okla Ed podcast because there are some other great podcasts.
No, there are. I was trying to make sure it can only be us.
I hope we win.
I think I had another suggestion too later on, and it was best out of context use of a statistic.
Oh gosh. You've probably got a lot of digging that you've done for that.
So.
I think I tweeted out best female Okla Ed presenter and best male Okla Ed presenter of the year. And I don't know if it's just Rick doing the research and stuff for this, if it had to have been something he had seen, or if we're all going to like pull on it or whatever, but I'm pretty excited to see what he comes up with.
Yeah, so that one's in 2 weeks and we are really excited and can talk about that because we know it's coming.
As for next week.
There it is.
All right.
Total surprise.
The Twitter chat, regardless of who's going to be on it, will be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, as always, on Sundays.
On Sunday night. So, yep. Until then...
All right, educators, you know what to do.
Go out and dominate this world like no other. Pound it into submission. Treat it like it's a... Oh, sorry. Take it out for coffee. Treat it nice.
Open its door.
That's right. And then slam it shut.
You're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.